91, what a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sin, pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Luke chapter 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, I hope our redemption draweth nigh tomorrow. It would be nice, wouldn't it? I'll take it tonight. Amen. Be nice before I finish preaching the Lord Jesus come back. We believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that he could come back at any time. And I hope he comes soon. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And we do long for that day. Lord, when you send your Son, Jesus Christ, back for your bride, has been prayed for and longed for getting closer to 2,000 years now. Lord, we ask that, God, that would come quickly, as John prayed, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But Lord, while we have this time, while we have this daylight that we live in, Lord, that is getting darker and darker all the time, help us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to folks who do not know, to folks who do not understand, to folks who don't want to understand. Help us to at least tell them the truth before it's too late. For we know there'll be a day, like the shutting of the door at Noah's Ark, there'll be a day where it will be too late. But Lord, help us to do all we can while we can. Bless the night and the reading and preaching of your word, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just remind you a couple of things. We will be, Lord willing, we will be having a men's breakfast tomorrow morning, as scheduled at 9 a.m. Ladies, don't forget your Phoebe auction is coming up on April the 12th at 6:30. I think there's a sign-up sheet there in the back for you ladies to do that. What's that?
Bring money.
Well, we're going to have an auction. You better bring something, either something to trade, something to buy. But I think it's about, you know, raising some money for Phoebe. And so it's always a good time. My wife always tells me all about it. So it should be a blessing. April the 13th, the next day, we'll have visitation from 10 and 12. Sunday the 14th, next Sunday night, we'll have a pie social. Of course, you can bring cake or ice cream and stuff like that, but we'll have a good time of food and fellowship after the evening service. Men, we're going to have a fish fry. I don't think we've had one since I have been here, and so we'd love to have a men's fish fry coming up the 20th. I know some men are looking forward to that. That's at noon. We'll have a good time of food, fellowship, and some time from the Word of God. Looking forward to that. April 27th, we'll have our annual spring and clinging, And again, we'll have a list of things to do inside the church, outside the church, whether you have 30 minutes or an hour or 4 hours. We greatly appreciate it. Anything we can do, if you say, I can't do it on Saturday, can do it some other day, let us know, and we will try to accommodate you, but we definitely want to get that done, and I always look forward to that, the quarterly financial update coming up on the 28th. If you're here tonight and you haven't gotten your picture taken recently, Ms. Tia is doing that. We're trying to redo our directory. Our directory is over 2 years old about, and we want to do that, so encourage you to get your picture if you normally attend, if you're a member, if you normally attend church here, so that we can, number one, know who you are, and secondly, pray for you, communicate with you, and so I hope you will do that. That will be very important. Also, of course, we're raising money for missionaries. We've been doing this for over a month now since our missions conference. If you have not turned in your faith promise slip, let me encourage you to do so tonight if you can. Basically, just pray about what you believe the Lord would have you to do for missions. That's above and beyond your tithe. Just tear off this little slip. You can mark in there, you know, $5, $10, whatever. Do it weekly, monthly, yearly. Put your name. That way we know it's not some kid putting in $1 million, you know, and getting us all happy, then realizing it's not really true. But the only person who sees this is Brother Pete, and so he accords that so we know how much money is coming in for missions. So whatever you're planning on giving from basically April to next April, our next missions conference is planned for next year, next April. So if you would just put that down, and by the grace of God, we would love to collect. We need about another $1,000 just to support our current missionaries. And of course, we'd love to support a couple more if we can, by the grace of God. Don't forget also, Miss Rachel wanted me to mention to you, we're trying to collect some items for One More Child Ministry. There's a whole list of things. Go through your house. You'll be amazed of the things you've collected over the years, like toothpaste, toothbrushes, unused. Okay. Don't give us a half a bottle, a half a toothpaste, or a half a mouthwash, or a toothbrush you've been using for 6 months, and say, I'll turn that in. Dear friend, I hope you got, well, I won't go into that. Deodorant, new deodorant, chapstick, hairbrushes, all that kind of stuff. Gently used household items like bedding, towels. There's a whole list back there. I hope you'll do that. My wife and I did that, but we're turning it in next Sunday. All right, Brother Keith, next one.
Brother Pete mentioned this morning, we're going to start recognizing the first Sunday evening of every month, recognizing whoever's had a birthday that or will have one that month. So we're going to do that tonight, but since we're starting late, we're just going to catch January all the way through April. So this is for you. That includes me and Brother George, because I know we both had birthdays, so we're just going to cover everybody for the last 4 months. All right, so y'all stand up, we'll sing Happy Birthday.
All right. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
All right, so take your hymnal and turn over to 276. We're going to sing the first, second, and last. 276.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. Sunshine and the rain. sends the harvest golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend.
Verse 4.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Right, fellowship with one another.
Thank you.
right, you can take your hymnals and turn to 201, More About Jesus. We'll sing the first, second, and last of this one. Number 201. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus,
Brother Ruel, would you pray for our tithes and offerings? Amen. You may be seated. Man, thank you, Miss Robin. Have your Bible with you this evening. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 8 tonight. Joshua chapter 8. We've been working our way through the book of Joshua. But Joshua chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither thou be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and rise, and go up to Ai, and see, I've given unto thy people the king of Ai, and the people, and the city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai, and to her king, as thou didst unto Jericho, and her king, only the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof, shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night, commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in the wait against the city, from even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. Now it shall come to pass that when they come out against us at the first, that we will flee before them. They will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush, seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it in your hand. It shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord. Shall ye do? See, I have commanded you. And Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, a bow between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. All the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh, came before the city, and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when he had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Verse 14. It came to pass that when the king of Ai saw it, that he hastened and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all the people at the time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all the Israel made as if they were beaten before them. They fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. They pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand towards Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand towards the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. And the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all the Israel saw the ambush had taken the city, and the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai, and the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. Verse 23, and the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness therein, chased them, and when they had fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, and all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and of women, were 12,000, and all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle, the spoil of the city, Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree unto eventide. As soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city. And he raised thereupon a great heap of stones, and remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar in the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift upon any iron. And they offered burnt offering unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And they wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and the elders, and the officers, their judges, stood on the side, the ark, and on the side that before the priests, the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them against the Mount Gerizim, half of them over against Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward they read all the words of the law, and blessings and cursings according to all was written in the book of the law. And there was not a word of all that Moses commanded them, which Moses read not before all the congregation of Israel, which the women and the little ones and the strangers were constant among them, conversant among them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for all your power and majesty that we see, Lord, through the word of God, that you are God, that you are holy, that you're righteous, that you're true. Thank you, God, that we have a wonderful example of how you deal with your people, Israel. And Lord, that gives us an example of how you deal with us. Though in a different dispensation, for sure, yet we see your patience, we see your kindness, we see your forgiveness. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to learn lessons from the true biblical accounts from the life of Joshua and the Israelites, Lord, that will apply to our own life. That when we fall, when we struggle, as surely we do often, that God will help us, Lord, to get back up, to serve you with all our might, and to learn things that will help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just thank you for this time that we have. I pray you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 7, we looked, of course, was a time of great sadness in the history of Israel as they were defeated by this city called Ai. After they had defeated a greater city, which is called Jericho, as we well know, they went against this little city and seemingly because of prayerlessness, because of lack of, because of overconfidence, Joshua led his people with limited amount of people, small army, and thought they could just go up there. Because they had defeated Jericho in the past, they thought, well, surely we'll be able to defeat this smaller city with limited numbers, and we'll go out there and defeat them. The problem is, as you well know, there was sin in the camp. Achan had taken of the accursed thing, the thing that was supposed to be dedicated, devoted to God. When they went into the city of Jericho, they were not supposed to take anything, nothing of the spoils, nothing of the treasure. It was totally dedicated unto the Lord. But of course, Achan sinned against the Lord. He looked, he coveted, he wanted, he desired, and he took of those things which were cursed. And there was sin in the camp. And as I mentioned last time, when there's a lack of fellowship because of sin, you and I are powerless to do the very will of God. It was the will of God for Joshua and the Israelites to eventually take Ai. But they weren't ready to take Ai because God was not with them. And when God is not with you, friend, because of sin, you cannot be successful in life. You might be successful in the eyes of the world, but you will not be successful in the eyes of God, because God hates sin. And when there's broken fellowship because of sin in your life, you will not prosper. All your relationships, marriage relationships, children relationships, work relationships will be hindered. That's one of the most important things you do on a daily basis is take a bath, a spiritual bath. You take account of yourself and you ask God a question. Am I right with you? And if you're not, to the best of your ability, you get right with God. Whether that be personal sin, you need to confess because you did a sin personally against God. Or maybe you need to go to your wife or go to your husband or go to your kids or go to a relative or friend and say, I wronged you somehow, some way. Don't say somehow, some way. Say exactly what it was. And the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what it was, because he will guide you in all truth. And if you want to get right, he will show you how to get right. Just get quiet before God and ask him, Lord, is there anything that I need to get right today? And you get quiet before God without any distraction, before long, he will show you where you need to get right. And if you take the time to start reading his word, he will guide you. He'll show you. And that's what you got to do. You need to go and get right with God. You have a clear conscience. Then with a clear conscience, you can go on and be victorious in the Christian life. But I believe a lot of time the church is powerless because so many people are involved in sin. Secret sin, selfish sin, Oh, man. We don't want nobody to know what we're watching late at night. We want nobody to know what's on the computer or on our cell phone. We want nobody to know what we're listening to or what's inside the fridge at home. We don't want nobody to know. Those secret sins keep you from having power and fellowship with God. That's why you're spiritually weak. That's why you fear. And that's what happens in the Christian life. That's why the church in America is anemic, because we're so sinful. And the only way we ever will have power is we get back right with God. And that's why everything has to happen in the home, in the individual life. Then it happens in the church. Then it happens in the country. Right now, we're trying to fix America by fixing it by going through government first, then the church, then the home. That's backwards. It starts personally with you and God in your quiet place before God to get right with Him, to get clean before God. To get clean before in your relationship with other people. Confess your sin. We confess our sin. As we said this morning, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. How often do you do that? Your friend, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. But how often do we humble ourselves and say to the people that we have offended, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? That's what you need to do on a regular basis. But we say, no, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. You know, it's really not my fault. It's their fault. And so we blame shift. And because we blame shift, then we're not right. And we stay in this situation. So that's exactly where Israel was. They went up to whip Ai, but they were whipped already because they were in disobedience. Remember, Joshua was all torn up because he thought it was God's fault. God, why did you put us in this situation? Why have you done this to us? It wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. God, you can't blame God for your own failures. No, God can't be tempted to sin. He's never sinned, never in the past, and never will, never can, because He's sinless. He's holy. He's perfect and righteous and true. So what do they do? They give up and say, well, you know what? We're just going to go back to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. No, it's the same thing you and I do when we find out, when we get whipped by sin, when we do wrong, and there's consequences for doing wrong, as there was consequences. People died because of their disobedience. Soldiers died because of their disobedience. So what do you do? How do you get back up? How do you go back to the drawing board? Well, first of all, as we see here in chapter 8, verse 1, first of all, you gain a word from God. You get back to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Not what polls say, not what social media says, not what the philosopher says, but what does God say? Always get back when you've gone down, get back up by getting back to the book. Get a new look from the old book. That's the Bible. Go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does God say? Well, God said to him in Joshua chapter 8 in verse 1, look at it, and says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and this people, and the city, and his hand. What do you say? Go back. Hey, don't fear. Don't be afraid. That's the first thing. Oh, Lord, I failed. I made a mistake. And when you make bad decisions, it's a horrible thing to admit you're wrong. And humbling yourself and having to go to people and say you're wrong. And say you get right. And sometimes there's consequences to getting right. Restitution needs to be made. Sometimes there's punishment that needs to be dealt out. But you have to get right with God. Because the most important thing in this life is to be right with God. More important than how much money you have in your bank account right now is being right with God. More important than how much food is in your pantry is being right with God. No more important than your life insurance plan is being right with God. Because, dear friend, you tonight might meet God, and you want to be right with God when you meet Him. You want to be right with God. So whatever you have to do, however you have to humble yourself, whatever ropes you have to go through to make that happen, dear friend, do it tonight. As soon as you walk out of this place, if you can, go to that quiet place and ask God to forgive you and ask others to forgive you. So we see the assurance of the Lord. Gain a good word from the Lord, from God, and getting assurance from God. Fret not.
God gives us assurance after defeat that He's still with them, that He's still with us. Oh, total true failure is failure to learn from our mistakes. He is the best who wins the most splendid victories by the retrieval of mistakes. Henry Ford defined a mistake as an opportunity to begin again more intelligently and organize a victory out of the mistakes. A man by the name of Alexander White said, no matter what mistake we make, the worst mistake of all is not to try again. For the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Just because you failed, dear friend, doesn't mean it's final. Failure is not final. No matter how bad it is, no matter how hard it is to confess it, to get right about it, to be open and honest about it. And again, you don't have to get up in front of the whole world and say you did something. You only go to those to whom you've offended. You only go if you've offended two or three people, go to those two or three. If you've offended just your family, humble yourself and go to your family. Many times as a father, if I had to go to my whole family and said, Daddy's failed today. Daddy failed. No, would you all forgive me? And I'd go, okay, Angie, you forgive me? And Mike, you forgive me? And Alethea, you forgive me? I need your forgiveness. And I had to humble yourself. I had to humble myself. And that's just part of the Christian life. And so, try again. Try again. Learning from a mistake can be productive results. Did you know that penicillin, x-rays, rubber, photography, electric current, and telescope, and ivory soap were all discovered by error or mistakes? You can learn from your mistakes. Israel was going to learn from their mistakes. Don't be afraid. Don't go back. Go forward. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Oh, Achan, if he'd have only waited, God, I believe, would have blessed him with the things that he needed and desired and wanted. But he didn't wait. He got impatient. So gain a word from God. Secondly, get a new plan about the problem. Get a new plan. Get a word from God. And when you're about to do what needs to be done, is there needing to defeat Ai, don't go back and do the same thing you did before. Doing the same thing you did before is the definition of insanity. Oh, I'm just going to send a bunch of people out there and just think we're going to wing it. No, dear friend, don't wing it. Get a word from God and get direction from God. And what does He want you to do? You see, when a Christian is defeated in light, it's sometimes easy to think, well, you know, how am I going to actually formulate this plan? How am I going to do it? How am I going to make this happen? Because we're afraid, we're fearful, we're afraid of failure again. We're afraid that, you know, we're not going to be able to do it. Maybe it's pain from the past, emotional, physical scars from your past. Maybe you trusted somebody. Maybe you shared your heart with somebody and they broke your heart by being going around and telling everybody exactly what you told them. Maybe you've had people in your life who don't forgive you, or they say they forgive you, but they don't forget what you've done. Oh, there's all kinds of issues that may come up. But they, instead of doing the same thing over again, they did it. They went about a different way. The first unit of men, as we see in verses 3 through 8, sent the first unit was 30,000 men of valor were sent ahead on the night march. This would be about 24 football fields of six men apart. The entire force of all the men that went this time would be 600,000 men going against Ai, because Ai recognized the fact that probably Israel would come again. Ai would be confident. They would be conceited, as we will see, and they'll be ready for another battle. So we see in verses 4 through 6, the city is approached. The first infantry would lie in wait and be ready. They would be patient, prepared. And anytime you're doing something for God, and you know He wants you to do it, the hardest thing, but the most important thing, is to be patient. Not to get ahead of God, not to get behind God, but be with God the whole time. To trust Him, be patient. Remember this old statement, friend, fools rush in. How many times have we made mistakes because we thought it was the right plan, but it wasn't God's plan? They just learned that lesson 101. And lots of times in life we get anxious about it. We feel like we have to do it. But instead of that being patient, they would have to be patient. So we see their approach. Secondly, we see that the city was ambushed in verse 7. When the enemy was drawn out, Israel was to ambush them from behind. So they're not going back and doing the same old thing and failing the same old way. In verse 8, we see the city aflame. When the enemy was drawn out, A was to be set aflame. A large amount of men would be ready to do this quickly. Notice this operation, again, is different from the others. A night operation with a daylight assault is used. So we can't get caught up in past failures. We can't even get caught up in past victories. We need to do things exactly as the Lord wants us to do. So we see this approach, this ambush, and the city set aflame. But where was Joshua? Was he out doing his own thing? The Bible says no. In chapter 8 and verse 9, notice it again. It says that Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush with a bow between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night, not on his own, not by himself, but among the people. What was he doing? He was being a leader. As the last time, it was as if he was sending the people out to do the battle. Now he's like, I'm with the group. I'm with them. I'm a part of them. Bethel, interesting, means a house of bread. Ai literally means heap of ruin. So they were between Bethel and Ai. We see not only the abode of Joshua, the approach of Ai in verses 10 through 13. A third deployment of 5,000 men was blocking a force to defend against a counterattack from Bethel, because Bethel, interesting enough, if you read the passage, was actually in league with the city of Ai, and the valley that Joshua went into was a deep ravine between Ai and the camp. So extra men was needed to protect from a counterattack from Bethel. We see the attack on Ai in chapter 8, verse 14. What was Ai's problem that they had? The same problem the Israelites had before. They thought, well, man, we see these people come in. We're going to defeat them just like we had before. The downfall of Israel before in chapter 7 was pride, prayerlessness, and overconfidence. In chapter 8, the downfall of Ai is pride and overconfidence. What does that tell you? That most of the time in life, we fail because of pride and overconfidence. We think, oh, man, I can face this spiritual temptation. I've done it before. I don't need to pray about it. Fail. Oh, man, you know, I can handle this. I've done this a million times before. Fail. No, dear friend. Humility. God desires humility. And the best way to be humble as a Christian is to begin to pray about it and say, Lord, you show me that way. You direct me in thy paths. And everything that you do, even the minute things that you do, how should I talk to my loved ones? Pray every day, Lord, give me wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of James that we, every one of us, should ask God for wisdom. Don't you think that's something we should ask for on a daily basis? Lord, how am I going to speak to my relatives? How am I going to handle this problem? If you just go out there and you think, well, I'll just wing it because of my experience or because of my age or because of I've done it before in the past. Oh, dear friend, you go pick yourself up off the ground. Don't think just because I've done it before I can do it again. Oh, dear friend, that's foolish talk. You need God to guide you. Oh, and Ai was getting ready to make a terrible failure. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. The Bible says there in verse 14, he wist not. They thought everything was going to be fine. They went out and whipped those boys from Israel before, and they didn't realize that they were being set up for a failure. Let me tell you, dear friend, you got an enemy called the devil who is crafty and wily. He is like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. You may have many Christians he's ruined their testimony because they were pride and think, well, I can handle a little bit of pornography. Oh, you know what? I can sip just a little bit of wine at night, and it's not going to bother me at all. It's for my stomach's sake, just like the Bible says to Timothy. Oh, I can smoke a little bit. I can inhale. I'll smoke it, but I won't inhale it. Yeah, that was a good one. Thank you, Mr. President. We really believed you on that one. And, well, I won't go there. But danger wasn't stalking. Defeat was sneaking up. The strict destruction was sniffing them out. Death was shouting it. They didn't realize that they were about to be destroyed. How many Christians sometimes we get in a situation because of pride and overconfidence, because we've been victorious in the past, we think, oh, I can handle just a little bit of temptation, just a little bit of sin, just a little peek, just a little taste, just a little time. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to see. And by the way, God will forgive me. I just hope I don't get caught. Talk to Jimmy Swaggart about that. Jim Baker. How about David? How about Achan? How about his family? His wife and his kids, who weren't really a part of it, but they were part of the destruction of it all. Wow. Will their sin lead them? Deception of Satan's plans, the torment and agony of it all. Let me see the artificial retreat in verse 15. It says there that Joshua and all the Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. They were faking it. They were saying, well, we're going to flee, just like we were defeated. It's like they're destroyed. But they weren't. Enough, the abandonment of Ai in verses 16 and 17. Bethel and Ai pursue after the main forces, leaving the city wide open. So confident of there, they left their families unprotected. They didn't leave any men behind to protect in case there was another group coming in to destroy. No, they sent the whole army, the whole town went out there and chafed out to Israel. Just like we defeated them in the past, we're going to defeat them again. They were foolish. They were going straight to destruction. And that's what pride does. It leads us to overconfidence. It leads us to carelessness. And, of course, the ambush in verses 18 and 19. 30,000 men was used to get the spoil before the city was burnt. God gave the victory because why? Because this time they had right fellowship with God. This time they were obedient to God. And, dear friend, remember the truism. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience always brings conflict to the life. Now they're in fellowship with God. Now they're doing God's will, and because of that, God's going to bless them. They're going to defeat the enemy. And not only that, they're going to gain spoil. Let's look at the ascension of smoke and the alarm of Ai in verses 20 through 22. The smoke signals of Ai send an alarming message. There's a problem in Ai. They're powerless. Their possessions have passed away. Panic is present. Totally defeated. Why? Because of overconfidence. Oh, I wonder today, just like this city, do you see your future going up in smoke because of bad decisions you're making in your life? We make bad decisions here, but sometimes the consequences aren't way down here. Let me tell you, the judgment of God grinds slow sometimes, but I promise you, dear friend, it grinds sure. Even for us as Christians, yes, we can confess our sins, and thank God we can, but the consequences of our sin before God, oh, they're forgiven, but the consequences, they may come later on. You don't want that in your life. That's why we need to be clean and righteous and pure now. Verses 23 through 25, we see the annihilation of Ai. The king is taken alive and others are destroyed. 12,000 men, women, and children are destroyed. Ai is burnt in a heap and totally destroyed. It is said that Michelangelo's huge statue of David was produced from a single block of granite weighing several tons. The block of granite was rejected a century before the master sculptor used it. It was supposed to be unfit for a work of sculpture, yet out of this rejected stone, he fashioned this beauty-inspiring masterpiece. Failure does not have to be final when faith is present. That's why we have to have faith, to trust in God, to believe, to go forward. And what do? They build an altar. So what do we do if we fall down? We gain a word from God. We get a new plan for the problem that's ahead of us. And thirdly, we go back to remember what we learned from the past. We go back to remember what we learned in the past. And what do? They set an altar. They build an altar there in Ebal in chapter 8, verses 30 and 32. The Bible says there that when Joshua built an altar unto the Lord in Israel and Ebal. They could have went after they defeated Ai and destroyed the king and said, we're just going to party. We're going to celebrate. We're going to just have a great time because we're victorious. Instead of doing that, they praise not themselves, they thank the Lord. They thanked the Lord and built an altar and worshiped Him. Because, dear friend, again, where does all our success come from? Does it come from our mental capacity? Does it come from our amazing education? Does it come from our fantastic ability to understand and grasp every concept that comes before us? Does it come from all our vast experience? No, dear friend. Any success you will have in life is because of God. Anything you will be successful from is only because of God. Because who is God? He's the one who gave you your hands. He's the one who gave you your eyes. He's the one who gave you feeling to see, feeling and seeing and hearing and touching and smelling. It's all God. That's why we sing, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." That's why when someone thanks you for something you may have done well, the first words out of your mouth should not be thank you. They should be praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For it is He that allows any of us to do anything. Dear friend, what do we deserve? All of us deserve the devil's hell. That's all we deserve. We get to do anything for God. So they build an altar, rededicate themselves unto God. They take them back to their, Joshua takes them back not to party, not to celebrate, but to remember what God has done and to sacrifice unto the Lord and how wonderful it is and how important it is to do that. Not only did they do that, they had the opportunity to hear the word of God again. The Bible says, as Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as written in the book of the law of Moses, verse 31, an altar of whole stones over which the man hath lift upon any iron, they offered their burnt offering unto the Lord, and sacrifice peace offering. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. So not only did they have a time of burnt offering and sacrifice before the Lord, for He was worthy of what was happening for the victory. Not only did that, they had this time of remembering the word of God that was spoken to them by the servant Moses. They remember what God had said to them. Interesting, there between these two mountains, the Mount Gerizim, Mount Abel, as I understand the topography of the land, it's like an amphitheater in that area. And so one group of people were on one side and one group of people on the other side. And the word of the Lord was read to them and they heard it in such a wonderful and interesting way. And they reminded themselves of what God had said. They reminded themselves of what God had said through their servant Moses. And dear friend, if we're going to be successful in life, we have to realize that failure is not final. We have to get a word from God. We have to go about a new plan. And thirdly, we need to hear what God says again. We need to get right with God, recognize all our victories are God's victories. And we need to get back in God's word for further instruction in life and remember what He said to us so that we can go on and live for Him in a most powerful way. Again, because God is able. Interesting enough about this area, over 1,000 years later, an altar would be built on Mount Gerizim, and this would be the area where the Samaritans would live. They thought their righteousness was because of their heritage, because their forefathers had worshipped there. And this is the exact area where Jesus, in John chapter 4, goes to that woman in Samaritan and ultimately helps her to realize that she needed the water to drink from, that if she drank of Him, she would never be thirsty again. Oh, what a wonderful picture it is for all of us to realize that our source of strength and hope is not in ourselves, it's not in our gifts or in our talents. Ultimately, many of the Samaritans that day, from the testimony of that woman who went into that city and told them all that ever happened to her, was what God had done. And may we, when we fail, be quick to admit our failures to other people. We like to talk to everybody about our victories. I did this, and I did this, and I did this. No. Remember, confess your faults one to another. It never says in the Scripture, as far as I can say here, confess your victories to one another. Always good to testimony time to say what God has done and praise God. But it's good sometimes to admit your failures to one another. Why? Because we all fail. Everyone in this room has failed multiple times in multiple areas, including the man behind this pulpit. We've all failed. But thank God, by the grace of God, it's not just in the failures that we focus. It's in a God who is victorious. And if we trust in Him and believe in Him and follow His Word, He will show us the way to righteousness. And we can live for Him and share what God has done with other people. How important that is for a world that's looking for truth, who thinks Christians are just a bunch of fakes. They look at the TV and they see a distorted view of Christianity from the Benny Hinn. Work that not what aren't what they should be. Dear friend, you're only going to have power through getting right with God. What are you going to do when you get down? You're going to get a word from God. You're going to go about the situation a different way. Then you're going to go back and make sacrifice to God. Where is God in your life? This altar was in the center of the land. Is God in the center of your life? Or is other things the center of your life? The question we all must ask is, Jesus first in our life? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Who is He in your life? Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I pray, God, You'd help us to be victorious in our Christian life. But victory can only come through Jesus. It can't come through our ingenuity. It can't come through our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our past victories. Lord, everything has to come through You. So I pray, Lord, tonight You'd help us to humble ourselves and ask You to forgive us where we fail You. Lord, go to others we've offended and get right with them. Go to family members and friends. Go to loved ones. Help us to make short accounts right with You, God. If there be a sin, if there be a wicked way in us, help us to confess it and get right with You, to be right. So we'll have victory in the life and not failure. Oh, Lord, help us to live for You and not ourselves. We thank You for this wonderful example we see in the Word of God tonight and how they were victorious because they humbled themselves and did the right thing Your way. With head bowed, eyes closed, maybe here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Dear friend, do you know Jesus? Has there been a time where you recognize the fact that you're a sinner and Jesus Christ is the only Savior? I hope tonight you're not trusting in your works. You're not trusting your denomination. You're not trusting in anything that you've done personally in the past. You're trusting in a relationship that you have now with Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Do you know Him? Are you living for Him? Oh, dear friend, how important it is to live for Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? And dear friend, tonight as a Christian, are you living for Him? Are you walking with Him? Are you talking with Him? Is there anything between you and the Lord? Is there something that needs to be confessed? Is something needs to be gotten right? Is there an area in your life where it's just you're struggling with? head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, and said, "Preacher, tonight there's some areas of my life I need to get right with Him. I need to get clean with Him. There's some changes in my life that need to be made. Would you pray for me that by the grace of God I make those right decisions in my life?" Anybody like that tonight at all? There's some areas of my life that need to change. I'm praying, God, help me make those decisions in my life. Amen. God bless you, brother. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else tonight? You were reading the Word of God, as you were preaching tonight, God showed me some areas of my life that need to change. The things I need to confess. Someone I need to go to and get right with. Would you pray for me? Anybody tonight? Anybody else? Amen. God bless you, brother. Let's stand to our feet with head bowed, eyes closed. The altar's open this evening. Maybe some areas, again, you need to get right. You want to just ask God to forgive you. You can do it right there in your chair. Maybe you'd like to come to this old altar and ask God to help you. Brother Travis is here. I'm here. If you'd like just to talk to us afterwards, we'd love to spend the time just helping you in any way possible. As the piano plays tonight, maybe God has spoken to your heart in a serious way. He's shown you maybe an error of life, a path of destruction you're on. Oh, don't think, I can handle it. I'm all right. It's no big deal. Tonight's the night, friend. Don't continue down that path of destruction. Don't believe the lie that everything's going to be okay if it's not okay. Tonight's the night to get right. Confess it. Get clean. Give God the glory. Go back a different way. Ask God to help you. The altar is open tonight. I pray you'll do business with God.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you this evening, Lord. Lord, thank you for having a church that has their doors open on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Lord, for us to come to and worship you. Lord, we just thank you that you love us so dearly that you'd send your own Son to die on the cross for us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for that blood atonement that you gave us, Lord. Just help us to live our life that reflects that. Help us to be honoring and glorifying to you, Lord. Lord, just take us home safely tonight and bring us back safely in the next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.